This tape is a production of All Roads Ministry.
The title of this particular tape is On the Air, Tape Number 5. What this means is that it is one in a series in which I, Vin Lewis, founder and president of All Roads Ministry, appeared on some public media which was transmitted over the commercial airways. This particular tape is the edited version. By edited, I mean I removed the commercials, the announcements, and the news broadcasts of my appearance on Pat Campbell's show, which appears or is broadcast out of Erie, Pennsylvania. And as he calls it, it's the right way. Pat Campbell is a Catholic who does not hide the fact that he is a Catholic and therefore is not, shall we say, reticent to bring up religious issues. This particular appearance of mine occurred by telephone link up to my house in late January 1995. I would mention a few things. Number one, my appearance was designed to somewhat remedy the appearance of Tex Mars, a Protestant fundamentalist who had appeared on Pat's show and, of course, as all Protestant fundamentalists do when they're given the opportunity, made some anti-Catholic remarks. When you hear references made to Tex or Mr. Mars or he having commented on this or that, understand that this is part of Pat's desire to have me on to supply some specific refutations to Mars's charges. Number two, since this took place the Sunday after the Super Bowl, I believe there is one reference in there to somebody betting on San Francisco and someone betting on San Diego. For those of you who have forgotten already, or as I am, a Dallas fan who never want to remember, the Super Bowl was won in an overwhelming fashion by the San Francisco 49ers. The last point, which may be needless to say, but I'll put it in anyway, when a live conversation takes place, that is to say, when you get live calls and when I'm not prepared to answer in the sense of that I haven't been prepped, occasionally one makes a grammatical error, one misspeaks, one adds phrases and words that one does not wish to do. So therefore, on occasion, you will hear me say something which is a little odd. As an example, as I listened to this tape, I heard myself say, Saint Pontius Pilate. Certainly, that was a mistake, and I understand that you understand this, and of course, you will overlook any such defects. With that in mind, let's go to The Right Way with Pat Campbell and special guest Vin Lewis, and I will, space allowing, make some comments at the end of this tape. Right now, I'd like to say thank you for obtaining it. Hope you find this on-the-air installment instructive, entertaining, and profitable.
Off to the 10 o'clock news when we return. From 10 to 11:30, Vin Lewis, the legend. We're going to be talking about Tex Mars, Benedictine nuns, and yes, the lunatic fringe. Back in a flash.
The Right Way with Pat Campbell.
Welcome, folks, as we kick off hour number two of this, a fabulous Monday edition of The Right Way. Monday, January 30th, 1995. Day 434 of the continuing real adventure in broadcasting, bringing to a sad yet triumphant end our 62nd week at our new dial location. But fear not, tomorrow, good Lord willing, as my brother Phil is so fond of saying, we kick off week 63 broadcasting to four counties, three states, and yes, two countries. Folks, a special treat for you this morning. Joining us from now until 11:30 will be Vin Lewis, a.k.a. I've given him a WWF, World Wrestling Federation moniker, the Ultimate Catholic Warrior. We're going to be talking about Tex Mars and some of the allegations that he made on the program not too long ago regarding the new Catholic catechism. We're going to be talking about a local order of nuns here, the Benedictine community, which was prominently featured on 60 Minutes, not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before. And also the Lunatic Fringe. I guess I could just call them all the Lunatic Fringe that we're going to be discussing with Vin Lewis. There will also be an opportunity for you to engage in one-on-one conversation with the Ultimate Catholic Warrior. Vin, without further ado, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pat, and let me say once again, thanks for having me on, and may God bless you and grant you all the indulgences you're getting for having me on, because since we can't buy those things, we have to get them somehow.
There you go. Yeah, the Catholic Church is officially out of the selling indulgences business at this time.
Since let me make another comment, if I may, preliminary, just so I don't forget. Your Tex Mars fellow, I was under the impression that he shies away from debating, so let me offer him a gentlemanly but serious challenge in the fashion, perhaps, of those pro wrestlers. I'll take him on anywhere, anytime that's mutually agreeable to us.
All
right. He can use his Bible, and I'll prove any Catholic doctrine whatsoever true from his Bible, or I'll convert on the spot and give him $500 on the spot. That's a binding contract, because nobody can stand up against God. And if Tex and his other Protestant friends want to point out that that's not a way to do it, I asked them to read the Acts of the Apostles, in which debating was given the example of why and how we knew the apostles were correct. They always debated. They always won. So do I. That's why Catholicism is right and Protestantism isn't. No Protestant in the world, no group of them, can beat me. And just to give them an extra chance, they can pick the topic and the location and don't have to tell me the topic until I arrive. They can hand me their King James Version of the Bible, and I can still prove any Catholic dogma or doctrine from any King James Version of the Bible whatsoever. Flat, no qualifications. There's my challenge to them. They won't accept it, but what the heck, it's fun to make anyway.
Vin, it's nice to see that you haven't lost any of your original spunk.
Hey, trying to get to heaven, Pat.
There we go. Vin, for those who haven't had the opportunity to hear you on the program before, perhaps you could give a brief introduction of yourself and your ministry, Armament.
Okay, briefly, I run an organization called ARM, All Roads Ministries, because there's only one way to heaven, and that's to Rome, but all roads lead to Rome. Try to do is to arm and enable today's Catholic to be able to defend, explain, and instruct and spread the faith by use of right reason and the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore we can reach out to our Protestant brothers and show them in the Bible where everything in the Bible that is right is Catholic and everything in the Bible that is right is anti-Protestant, so that these people can save their soul, come to a knowledge of truth, and ultimately and join us Catholics in heaven.
We should probably give the disclaimer at this point. The views that are going to be promoted today on the program are those of Vin Lewis and not necessarily those of the Catholic Church locally and or the management of Flagship 1330.
But Pat, I am speaking for God, and let's just make it straight. We'll give a telephone number at the end where people can write me and get a catalog. We don't give away catalogs free because we don't cast our pearls before swine.
There we
go.
But
if they want to give us $5, we'll send them a catalog which contains about 200-300 titles on how to defend, explain, and spread the faith. We also publish a monthly publication of instruction, which I know you get at least complimentary from
yes.
us, which teaches people what to say when they say that, why Protestantism is wrong, why other religions are wrong, and why Catholicism is right.
In fact, I just got the latest issue Saturday, which was nice because the Catechism was featured prominently in there. Tex Mars was on the program a few weeks back. He put out a one-hour audio tape entitled The Intelligence Examiner. In that particular month, the topic was the hidden meaning or the secret meaning behind the new Catholic Catechism. And in that tape, he mentioned seven different topics that I want to have you sort of give me some feedback on today. Now, before we begin, I guess I would have to ask, Vin, have you read the new Catholic Catechism, some 800 pages in length?
No, and I'm really surprised that Tex has. I mean, that's really an incredible feat that someone could go through all of it.
Tex has a lot of free time.
It's very complex. It's very badly written. And it's got an awful lot of dependent clauses attached onto every single sentence. I've read parts of it, I've had people read parts of it, and I've read several reviews of it. So therefore, as I usually do, I consider myself knowledgeable in any religious area, whether I know anything about it in advance.
That's what I was going to ask. Since you haven't read it, do you feel qualified to comment on it?
Absolutely. In the same sense, I'm not going to look at next month's Playboy, but I guarantee it's going to be pornographic. And I don't have to tell you, I've experienced an abortion myself to tell you it's a mortal sin that'll put you in hell.
All right. The first issue that Tex brought up on his tape was that the new Catholic Catechism calls for or promotes a spirit of ecumenism, which, for those who don't know, means universal Christian unity, commonly referred to as the ecumenical movement. Do you think that's a fair accusation, and is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it's sort of an irrelevant thing. The point is, there isn't any need to call for Christian unity because Christians are united already. If we read the epistles, 1 Corinthians, first chapter, St. Paul writes that Christians must be of one accord, one mind, one judgment. All Christians who can validly use that term Christian in the sense mm-hmm. of they're trying to live a Christian life, they're trying to reach God, they're trying to do what's right and live the faith and accept the faith, already agree with me. So we're already unified. Now, those people such as Tex-Mars, liberal Catholics, people, New Agers, Methodists, Presbyterians, Baptists, etc., they're not Christians in a full sense of the word. They may have been baptized, but they aren't already in agreement. So what the Catechism is doing in that sense, if it's properly understood, is simply validating that Christians must agree on every single moral and doctrinal issue without any exception or deviation whatsoever, because there's only one truth, one God, mm-hmm. one salvation. And if you've got a different one, then you're worshiping a false god, a false idol. So the Catechism, in so much as it promotes valid ecumenism, which means united in the bosom of Rome, mm-hmm. venerating the Blessed Mother, receiving the body of Christ when we go to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass on Sunday, all of those Christians are already united. And all those people who call themselves Christians and are not in that fold have an obligation to get on the bark of St. Peter, lest they drown.
Tex, I'm 34 years old. I was born in 1960. The church that I have known has been post-Vatican II. Correct me if I'm wrong. It was my understanding from talking to older Catholics that prior to Vatican II, the Catholic Church, for the most part, taught that there was no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. In other words, you were either a Catholic or basically you went to hell. Since then, that type of what would be called by some inflammatory rhetoric has been taken out of the Catechism, so to speak, and replaced with a more friendly voice, a more friendly spirit of unity. And the fact is, you know, all these different Christian denominations that are out there, yeah, we differ on a whole lot of things. But there's a whole lot of things that we agree on, and perhaps we should unite on those issues because there is power in numbers. What's wrong with that ecumenical spirit?
The problem with it is this. There is a pragmatic sense to religion in the sense that you're trying to bring about the amount of good and reduce the amount of evil in the world. So therefore, if our Protestant friends or enemies wish to unite with us on pro-life activities or, shall we say, opposing feminism or anything like that, then for pragmatic reasons, of course, we should welcome them into the fold. We should cooperate with them completely. We should welcome them on the picket lines and, of course, help accept their money. However, we must never fail to draw the distinction that the ultimate thing is the matter of truth, and we're doing it for the right reason, they're doing it for the wrong. We're doing it to gain indulgences, to give glory to God. They're doing it for self-gratification. But again, if you're in a battle, and every man is in a battle to save his soul, every man is in a battle to confront evil, you don't, in the middle of a battle, check the credentials of your allies. And if your child suffered a burst appendix and you were driving through a strange town, you would take the child to the nearest hospital, and you wouldn't, while the child was dying, say, listen, do you perform abortions here, or are your doctors Catholic? No. The immediate thing to do is to save the life of the child. Since we're in this battle of good versus evil, we should accept any allies whatsoever, but only on a pragmatic issue-by-issue mm-hmm. basis. Mm-hmm. So therefore, some feminists are against pornography, although feminists in general are against everything good. In this case, they happen to be against something evil. You can form a temporary alliance. Mm-hmm. But we should never misunderstand, or we should never fail to understand, that their motives are wrong and our motives should be right. And it is ultimately the motives which judge the heart, and it is ultimately the judgment of the heart that puts us in heaven or hell.
Vin, do you
salvation in mind.
Vin, do you believe that there is a salvation outside the Catholic Church?
Oh, no, of course not. And
can you give me a scriptural basis for that?
Oh, sure. Again, the one I mentioned before about 1 Corinthians, you must be in one mind, one judgment, one accord. And St. Jesus, again, standing in front of St. Pilate in the Gospel of St. John, at the climax of his life, before he's be taken out to be crucified, said that the purpose why he came into earth, why the incarnation took place, why he took on human flesh and dwelt among us, was to bear witness to the truth, and everyone committed to the truth hear his voice. Now, if you're not committed to the truth, you are therefore committed either to not finding the truth or evil, either one of which will put you in hell. If you are committed to the truth, you will hear his voice, and his voice says, among other things, my mother was immaculately conceived and remained a virgin all her life, and I'm physically present on the altar being sacrificed daily at the holy sacrifice of the Mass when a validly ordained priest says the proper words with the proper intention. Anybody who hears differently is not committed to the truth. Anybody not committed to the truth will go to hell, by definition, because they're either guilty of the mortal sin of sloth or the mortal sin of hatred of God. Either one will put them in hell. The only way you can be committed to the truth is to hear the voice of Jesus the way I do it, to agree with me, to enter the Church of Rome. Everybody else, by definition, is gone.
Then there are those out there, I'm sure in the listening audience, who believe that church affiliation is really irrelevant on Judgment Day. In fact, one of the last things that you're going to be asked on Judgment Day is what church did you belong to? How do you respond to that type of criticism?
Well, everybody who says that is an utter phony. And the reason they're another phony, and let me make the point here. When a person is branded as a phony, that is a person who knowingly advocates a lie or knowingly advocates something he will not practice, then that person automatically loses all credibility. I point out that any person who says that it doesn't matter which church you're in will also say at the same time it is a disgrace that there are so many denominations among the Christian church. Therefore, why don't they simply follow through on that principle and become Catholic again and unify Christianity in one church? If it doesn't matter if you're Methodist or Baptist or Catholic, then for God's sakes become Catholic so that we can unify and turn this country into a more Christian country and do good and avoid evil. Because one thing the Catholic Church always has had through history is a far more effective political social program than any other religious organization ever. The Baptists are completely useless. The Methodists are completely useless. The Presbyterian are completely useless in social and political environment and in programs. Therefore, anybody who says it doesn't matter what church you're in must, by definition, come back into Catholicism because we're the only force for good in the world.
Then hasn't the Catholic Church traditionally taught over the years that our Jewish brothers and sisters have an inherent or birthright to heaven?
No. Well, yes, they do, in a very real sense. But understand, having a right and bringing out the realization of that right is quite different. In other words, I have a right to vote. But if I don't exercise that right to vote, I don't influence who gets into office. But I have an inherent right to vote as long as I'm a citizen of the United States, meet a certain age, and don't lose it because of, say, a felony conviction. So in a very real sense, the Jews still are the chosen people. That is because they're literally blood-related to the Blessed Mother and Jesus. They are still the chosen people. They are still special in God's eyes. They still have an inherent right to heaven. But they can exercise this right, bring it into execution, so to speak, only by being a Jew within the fold of Rome.
Vin, I need to take a short commercial break. I'm going to put you on hold. Callers online, I appreciate your enthusiasm, but I really haven't opened up the phone lines yet. I will let you know when I do. I'm going to clear the lines, and when I open them, I'll give out the phone number once again. We'll be back after this commercial break with Vin Lewis talking about the new Catholic Catechism, some of the allegations made by Tex Mars on this program. Also, if time permits, we'll be discussing that fine order of nuns out on East Lake Road, the Benedictine community, and other members of the lunatic fringe as time permits. Back in a flash.
Serving four counties, three states. The Right Way with Pat Campbell.
Folks, welcome back. I'm joined once again by Vin Lewis. We're talking about the new Catholic Catechism. Vin, charge number two that was levied by Mr. Tex Mars on the program, he believes that the new Catholic Catechism promotes socialism, classic definition, redistribution of wealth, under the context of a philosophy known as social justice. Could you respond?
Yeah, socialism is not redistribution of wealth whatsoever. That's Christianity. Socialism is the denial of the right to own private property. The Church, the Catholic Church, has always been the strongest defender of the person's right to own private property, and unless something happens where the Antichrist comes back and everything falls, which of course can't happen, the Catholic Church will always defend people's right to own private property. What the Church says, and what the Church has always said, and what the Church will always say, is that you can't own property in and of itself. That's a sin of avarice. It must be for a good purpose. Your life must be for a good purpose. Therefore, every rich man has the obligation to redistribute his wealth among poor people, deserving poor people. He has no obligation to give it to poor people who are going to waste the money, spend it on alcohol or drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, this is not socialism whatsoever. It is simply the statement, which is the absolute foundation of all Christianity. You are not your own. You belong to God. And everything in your life must be in accord with God's will, because you have been bought from your sins at a great price by Jesus on the cross. Now you must live for Christ. And that doesn't stop with the money in your wallet and the possessions you own. So therefore, your possessions have to be a way for you to get to heaven. Again, not socialism at all, but the Pope, and I'm a critic of the Pope frequently, but he was dead right by pointing out that Western capitalism is not a Christian system. It advocates horrible greed and complete indifference to the poor. And I don't care if I sound like a liberal Democrat on this, and I'm the last thing from it. We have to face the fact that individually we have the obligation to feed the hungry and clothe the naked, and that that obligation on us is absolute, unqualified, and never dies until we do.
The new catechism, according to Tex, also comes up with what he believes are some new teachings on homosexuality. He believes there is a more tolerant tone of rhetoric that is used in the new catechism, and also made some pretty harsh accusations about pedophiles in the priesthood and lesbians in the nunneries. Your response?
Things. Number one, we must be careful when we distinguish between heterosexuality and heterosexual acts.
Okay.
Heterosexual acts are condemned always completely without qualification, no exception whatsoever under any circumstances. Homosexuality, which means the tendency to like someone as a member of your own gender as a sexual object, is perhaps a medical problem, perhaps with spiritual overtones, or a spiritual problem with medical overtones, I don't know. That itself is not condemned. A person, if he's born homosexual, cannot help that. He cannot help his tendency towards liking a person of his own gender. He must, however, never, ever, ever express it in any physical form whatsoever. Now, I guarantee you that that is church teaching, that is always church teaching, in the same sense that you and I, Pat, and the rest of us heterosexual guys, when we look at women, we find them attractive. That's the way God intended it to be, and we can even admire them. But we can't act on that except with our own wives, even our own heart. We can't lust after another woman. We commit adultery. As far as pedophilia and lesbianism, I just have to agree with Tex if he's saying it's rampant among the priesthood. It certainly is, and it's a horrible situation. And most, if not all, of these pedophiles are being supported, protected, defended, and I guess every other word that comes like that, by the bishops. There are very few bishops in this country who are taking their goal seriously, which is to minister to the flock of Jesus. Unfortunately, they're putting wolves among us, and they're protecting those wolves. And I think from what I can gather, especially among the corrupted orders of nuns, lesbianism is also rampant. I heard a statistician on this who said that his surveys led him to believe that approximately one-third of the priests are essentially homosexual in one way or another, and about 50% of them have violated their vow of chastity. And he asked me this on a national television show, and the host said, well, I'm sure you don't agree with him. And I said, there's one thing between not liking something and another thing and not agreeing with it. I don't see any reason to doubt that.
Go ahead.
Just one point, if I may, and this is the old classic. Why, then, would a person such as I and a person such as you remain in a church which is so filled with corruption? For two reasons. Number one, as St. Peter said to Jesus in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, where else are we to go? There's no other way for salvation. There's no other place where the words are. And number two, isn't it absolutely guaranteed a proof from God that this, what appears to be endlessly corrupt church, always falling down, always failing to meet her goal, always remains the spotless bride of Christ? All of these criticisms that Tex are bringing up were brought up by Martin Luther, by John Calvin, by Arius, by every other single heretic who's ever existed, and they were always right, and yet the Church of Rome always survives and always has the great heroes commit themselves to her completely so that they will shed their faith, shed their blood, rather than shed the smallest part of their faith. There is no other organization in the world, in the history of the world, that has ever engendered people like St. Thomas More, St. Thomas Becket, all of those other martyrs who wouldn't budge and yet remain faithful always to this apparently corrupt institution. That's because we all know, functioning through our baptismal vows and our and the sacrament of baptism, this is the Church of Christ.
Vin, we need to take a break to go to the flagship 1330 News Center. When we return, folks, your calls, your comments, your questions for Vin, taken in the order they're received at 835-1330. We'll be back after the news with more.
This is Flagship 1330 WFLP. The Right Way with Pat Campbell.
Welcome back, folks. Thanks for joining us for the second half of hour number two. My guest today, Vin Lewis, a.k.a. the Ultimate Catholic Warrior. We've been talking about the new Catholic Catechism, and we'll be taking your calls this morning in the order that they are received at 835-1330. Vin, before we go to the phones, and we've got a number of patient callers waiting, two quick questions. First of all, getting back to the catechism and the so-called new teaching on homosexuality, a more tolerant stance, if you would, why has the leadership of the church, specifically the U.S. Catholic bishops, allowed the seminaries throughout this country to become sanctuaries for homosexuals and pedophiles, and by the same token, convents to become sanctuaries for lesbians? And secondly, isn't there room for all of these people in God's church?
Two things. The classic, the question you asked is the same one of why did Eve ask Adam to sin? There's few cliches which have more truth in it than misery loves company. You get a few homosexuals in a few key places in the church, and what they do is spread their evil, they spread their discomfort, they spread their sexuality, quote-unquote. So what they do is they tend to screen out the heterosexuals and screen in the homosexuals in the seminary. All you need is a couple in a few places, and they go for the key roles, the admission commissions and the admission boards. So what they're doing is what every sinful person does. He tries to justify his acts by essentially pointing out that everybody else does it. Okay, that's why, that's one of the classic ways that Protestants attack Catholicism. And I'm sorry, what was the second question?
Secondly, isn't there room for all of these people in God's church?
Well, of course there's room for everybody in God's church. They just have to stop doing evil, or when they do it, they have to repent, reform, confess it, and get forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
The church is, in the true sense of the word, universal. It has room for homosexuals, animal lovers, animal haters.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, if you're an animal hater, you're not allowed to express it. If you're an animal lover, you are, except, of course, in physical ways. And if you are a homosexual, you're simply not allowed to express it. I go back to it again. I am unmarried. Therefore, I cannot have sexual relations with a woman, and I am forbidden even think about it in a pleasurable fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, there's room for heterosexuals, homosexuals, there's room for people who like vanilla chocolate ice cream, and there's people who rooted for San Diego yesterday and people who rooted for San Francisco.
One more quick one.
Sure.
Tex Mars believes that the new Catholic Catechism further elevates the Blessed Mother, Mary, and actually promotes her worship. Your thoughts?
Well, there's two points here. One is, what does he mean by worship? If he's following the King James Version of the Bible, then of course we're promoting her worship, because the King James Version of the Bible mandates that the followers of Christ seek worship from other people. And if Tex Mars has never read that, that's why I'd love to get these guys in a one-on-one situation, because they've never read their own Bibles, or shall I say, they read them and they forget them. If it is offering a higher status to the Blessed Mother than it has been, then this is one of the things in the Catechism that I definitely would agree on. Everything up to adoration, which is due only to God, is due and to the Blessed Mother and is obligated upon all of us to do so, because, after all, she is necessary for our salvation.
Let's take a few quick calls here. Good morning. You're on Flagship 1330.
Yes. I would like to challenge the guest credibility by asking him a couple questions on the Vatican Council 1962.
Sure.
Would you please... And you should know this if you know anything about the Vatican Council. Who was the devil's advocate?
I have no name for you.
Okay.
Devil's advocate, to my knowledge, only in canonization.
No, in that particular council. He was a very well-known person. He's a very saintly person.
Okay. Once again, there may have been someone who fulfilled that role, but I doubt if he had that specific title. I think you're going by a common misuse of the language.
No, I'm not. No,
okay,
I'm not.
I could be wrong.
He was very prominent, and
What's your point?
My point was, I wanted to know if I wanted to challenge your credibility. The second thing I wanted to say.
I didn't advance myself as an expert on Vatican II. So you're not challenging my credibility because I made no such advancement.
Okay, well, the second thing, and I'm going to ask, I'm going to say two things. One, I'm asking you a question, and then I'm going to give a statement, and then I'm going to hang up. Second thing was, what was the purpose, since you don't know anything about Vatican II?
I didn't say that. So go ahead.
What was the statement on the habits that the nuns were working? And now I have a statement. I don't think that you should take all nuns and put them into category of whatever you had said about them, because I had some wonderful nuns as a student, and I had one particular that she is a saint.
He hasn't put them all in the same category.
Yeah, you should listen better.
Pardon?
You should listen more carefully.
I tried to listen carefully, but
you didn't succeed.
So
go back
fast.
And practice more.
Pardon?
Go back and practice more.
Well,
you didn't succeed.
Well,
I think, as with most women, you let your emotions go on whether you like or dislike,
right,
so therefore you don't pay attention.
Are women haters?
Oh, no, but you should go and ask your husband if you want to listen correctly. Let him listen and then him feed the information to you.
I can't believe what I'm
That's what St. Paul says,
ridiculous.
So therefore, in matters of religion, you should ask your husband. Are you married?
Because you didn't know the devil's advocate?
Excuse me. Are you married?
Yes.
Then get a copy of this tape. Have your husband listen to it and ask his comments. Make him fulfill the role God put him on earth for.
What is he supposed to fulfill? Oh, this is interesting. What is he supposed to, role is he supposed to fulfill?
He's supposed to give you your religious instruction. St. Paul says it, infallible word of God, unchangeable forever. Go read the epistles, ladies.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
You know, Pat, some people consider me offensive. I don't know why.
Ben, you're just helping Erie. I'm telling you, it's good stuff. Good morning. You're on Flagship 1330.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
You said something about you have to be a Catholic in order to get to heaven. Right?
Correct.
Okay. In other words, anybody else is going to hell.
Yeah, ultimately,
now,
sure.
If I become a Catholic, what do I have to do to get to heaven?
You have to stay in a state of grace and be judged so when you die.
What? I mean, that's all I have to do.
Well, yeah, sure. But to put it in Protestant terms, you have to remain a friend with Jesus, let him in your heart, turn towards him, and accept him as your personal savior. Those are all Catholic theology. It's just Protestant language. So what you have to do is be born again, accept the teachings of Jesus, live them the best you can. When you fall, repent, confess, and get back in the state of grace, which is friendship. And obey, of course, the rules which God has laid down for you to remain in that state of grace. That's not earning your salvation. That's maintaining your salvation. Let me use this very simple analogy, which I think might clear up a potential problem. If I gave you a car, you certainly didn't earn it. But if you don't change the oil, and if you don't change the plugs, and if you don't put gas in it, it won't run. So you have to maintain it once the gift is given to you.
In other words, what if I commit a mortal sin?
Yeah, then you have to get back in the state of grace, otherwise you're on your way to hell. You're out of that state of friendship with Jesus.
What if I don't?
Well, then you'll wind up in hell if you don't repent before. If you don't repent at your last chance to repent, then you'll wind up in hell.
If I believe in Jesus Christ and I accept him as my Savior, I'm born again. I'm born by what? By grace through faith.
That is
out of myself.
Oh, sure, sure. I'll agree with that.
It's a gift of God, right?
Yeah,
so
correct.
I received the gift. Now, why should he take it away from me?
Take it away from you. You destroy it.
Well, you said I'm going to hell if I commit a mortal sin.
Yes, you do. And that isn't... Mean, he's not taking it away. Again...
You're trying to tell me that there's a difference in sin to God.
I beg your pardon?
There's a difference in sins.
Yes, I'm saying exactly what the Bible says on this. Exactly, correct.
God says sin to me is sin, period.
Excuse me, sir. Does the Bible say that there is a sin leading to death and a sin not leading to death?
Yes. You know what that is?
So therefore, there's two kinds... Excuse me, sir.
Do you know
what that is? So therefore, there are two kinds of sin, mortal and non-mortal.
Do you know what that is? Do you know what that means?
Yes, it means mortal.
That means if you do not receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're on your way to hell.
Oh, wait a minute. We agree on that perfectly.
That's the only sin that there is in the Bible.
Excuse me.
God says...
Excuse me. May I ask you a question? May I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Are you infallible when you say that?
Am I infallible?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Okay, very good. Now, have you ever made a mistake on religious matters?
Certainly.
Okay, then you're not infallible, so you just contradicted yourself.
I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Thank you very much. That isn't what I asked. You just contradicted yourself.
Wait a minute.
No offense. You're sharing your opinion with me, but you should...
You're trying to get away from something.
Excuse me. Let me make a statement, and then you can comment. We'll try to be polite here, okay? You should call the lady and share your feelings. This is a fact-based discussion with me. I don't share feelings except on sports and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, call that other lady and talk about emotion. But the point is this. If you make mistakes on religious matters, then you are not infallible, and you have just lied. But you probably weren't lying. You were joking. That's all right, but that's feeling. We're on serious stuff here, sir. If you make mistakes, you're not infallible. If you're not infallible, you can offer your opinion. But Jesus condemns the offering of opinion as dogma.
Thank you very much, but you've destroyed your credibility. Now go ahead and embarrass yourself further.
We are all sinners.
Agreed.
Whether we're saved or not, we are all sinners.
Agreed.
But it says in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Agreed.
And John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his
Agreed.
Only begotten Son.
Agreed. Hey, it's
John
a Catholic
3:36,
book.
He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life.
I agree.
He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but
Agreed.
The wrath of God abide.
Agreed.
So don't tell me that I'm justified by faith. I don't know what you're justified by. You're working your way to heaven, and you
no,
can't
sir.
Do it. You said
no,
you
sir.
Are trying. I heard you say that.
No, sir.
You are trying to get to heaven.
Oh,
by
yes.
what you're doing.
Oh, yes. I'm
you
sorry. I misunderstood
not,
you.
You do not get to heaven by what you're doing except receiving Christ and living the life that you should
exactly
live.
Exactly what I said. If you misunderstood
but
me, you're not
are,
paying attention.
You are a sinner, period.
I never
and
denied
you can't
that.
Get away from it, and my sins have been forgiven, my past sins, my present and my future sins
well,
are
now,
forgiven.
Now you're in a lunatic
God
fringe again.
God told me that if, when I read the Bible, he tells me I am forgiven, period. All I have to do is come up and...
Excuse me, let me ask you a quick
sins.
Question.
All I have to do is...
Will you let me ask
no,
you a question?
Get out of something.
Will you let me ask you a question, or
yeah,
have calmed down enough?
That,
have you gotten out of feminist?
After
grace.
You got done, I
Will you let talk. Me ask you a question? Will
Go
you
ahead.
Let me ask you a question?
Go ahead, Vin.
Does Jesus say that you will not be forgiven unless you forgive others? Yes or no?
No.
He doesn't?
No.
You're a liar. Read Matthew 18. Let's get on to somebody who knows some religion
Vin,
so we don't have dead air with a fool, okay?
Vin, I got to get some commercials in.
Good.
Going to put you on hold. We'll be back with the ultimate Catholic warrior, Vin Lewis, right after this, folks.
The Right Way with Pat Campbell.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Vin Lewis taking your calls in the
hey,
order.
Pat,
yes, sir.
Let me make a quick comment on that guy, particularly as I can talk behind his back now since he's off the air. it specifically says in Matthew 18 and in the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, that we will be forgiven as we forgive others. And if we do not forgive others, we will not be forgiven. This guy is absolutely typical of the Bible-only Protestant. He has never read or remembered the words of Jesus, calls himself a Christian, and it's exactly the point. I'm not asking him to agree with me. I'm just asking him to remember what Jesus says. He literally denies the words of Jesus, calls himself a Christian. Now, I'm not going to even explain that passage, but I'm going to say this. Unless you are a Catholic, those verses which say you cannot be forgiven unless you forgive others will make no sense. But, of course, hey, sin clouds the intellect. Non-Catholics are serious sinners. Therefore, they won't understand these things. But as Jesus said, we will give to those with a little bit or more everything, and we will take away from those who have very little everything, so they have nothing. Protestants have very little. They wind up like that guy with nothing. Go ahead. Let's go to the next call.
Great time for that disclaimer once again. The views being expressed this morning are those of Vin Lewis and not necessarily those of the station management here at Flagship 1330.
Want to keep your job
there, huh, Pat? Yeah, well, I'd like to.
Okay.
Back to the phones. Good morning. You're on Flagship.
Morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
Hi.
I'm pretty good. Pat, I called you Friday to ask you this question. You said you were going to discuss it today. Why women don't get a people don't want a bigger role for women in the Catholic Church?
Why no female priests, Vin?
Oh, because they're second-class citizens, second-class people.
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
And you never offer to God what is second-class if first-class is available. Women have a role on the altar. It is cleaning the altar rails. It is sweeping up after the priests are through and fleshing up the flowers. Otherwise, they shouldn't be up there unless they're getting married.
Okay.
Vin, do you have any scriptural basis for feeling that women are, as you call it, second best?
Sure. St. Paul puts it frequently, and St. Peter, the first pope in one of the first encyclicals in the Bible, says that women are the weaker vessel. Every time men and women are compared in Scripture, with one exception, every time, at least one exception that I know, but every other time, the woman always described as the weaker, the more submissive, the less valuable. Always. Jesus, at the fall, excuse me, God, at the fall, decrees forever that the role of the woman will be submissive to her husband and that his desires will be her desires. Her desire will be the role of her master. St. Paul specifically says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, infallible word of God, absolutely unchangeable, that when it comes to religious matters, in assemblies, at mass, women are to keep their mouths shut. If they keep their mouths shut, they can't offer mass. And they can't read, and they can't lecture, and so therefore, to follow the word of God, we have to keep their mouths shut, and to keep their mouths shut, they can't be priests. Otherwise, St. Paul was not giving us the inspired word of God, and we have to throw the Bible out. And if we throw the Bible out, we might as well become Protestants. They don't pay any attention to it.
Vin, I've got a group of girls that listen to my program on a regular basis out on Eastlake Road, and right now as they're sticking pins in their little Vin Lewis voodoo dolls, they're saying that you're a male chauvinist pig, that you're a Neanderthal, that you're a throwback to the pre-Vatican II days, and you're very narrow-minded. How would you respond to that criticism?
I'm utterly narrow-minded. The most narrow-minded person in the world says 2 plus 2 equals 4, and it's not 5, and it's not 3. Narrowness is the nature of truth. Number two, if women were to be the way women were up until this last generation when Freud seemed to liberate them, you will find that they were much, much more happy. And I ask women who object to this one simple question. Would you rather be happy or would you rather be liberated and equal? And very frequently they will say they would rather be liberated and equal. And then you're talking about pure masochism, the embracement of pain, discomfort, degradation as a sexual perversion. You don't let perverts make policy and you don't let perverts dictate morality. Every woman who submits herself to a man who functions in a life of service to others is more happy. And the classic case I come up, and I always like to point this out, are two things where you can absolutely verify what I'm saying is correct. Number one, go into any bookstore and look at the, quote, woman's romance section. And what do you find? Book after book after book after book after book of women always being seduced by a man who dominates them. Women love this stuff. Every single one of those books has a rape scene in it. I mean, a rape scene, Pat. Okay? They sell endlessly. People make their livings off of this. And women, whatever a person buys without formal acknowledgement or credit is what they really want. You might buy a Mercedes to impress your neighbor, but you buy a romance novel because that's what you want. Number two, women, the commercials on TV, which were run by really smart guys in Madison Avenue, always present the woman in the role of service. She does care if her floor is clean. And the classic line they always say is, you do so much for others. Now, shouldn't you do something for yourself? Because they never say that to a man. Mm-hmm. We could care less about others. We only care about ourselves. And I say this to men also. Check it out sometimes, guys. Start, classic line I use all the time, sit down, lose the remote control, have your wife change all the channels for you, and wait until she sits down, change it again, wait until she sits down, go to the refrigerator, get some the drink, then wait until she sits down, get an ice cube, and people say, my wife will kill me, and everybody who's ever tried has come back to me and said she loved it, because women, being better than us in many ways, love to serve men. Give them a chance. Sit on your rear ends and listen.
Vin, there has to be some truth to what you're saying, because my good friends out on Eastlake Road, I've never, in my 34 years, seen one of them smile.
No, of course, they're miserable and unhappy. And that's the point. Masochism, the suppressed sexual desire to be degraded, to be beaten, to inflict pain upon oneself. We don't let perverts dictate policy.
Vin, make some calls. Good morning. You're on Flagship.
Hello, Vinny.
Hey.
How's it going?
Okay. Do I know you?
What's that?
Do I know you?
No, you don't.
Okay, fine.
You probably don't want to either.
Maybe.
Okay. Do you believe that Jesus, during his lifetime, ever made a mistake?
No.
Okay. Nothing that he should have been criticized for.
Correct.
Okay. Another question. Mary was a virgin all of her life?
Correct.
Said? Okay. How many children did she have?
One. And now, billions. One in the, quote, natural way, and now, because she is the mother of all mankind, literally billions.
But what's Luke 2:7 say?
I don't know. If you could quote it to me, I'll say it. I'm sorry, go ahead. Firstborn son?
Yeah.
Okay. If you know in Exodus, it talks about when when God directly talks to Moses, he talks about go to Egypt and rescue my firstborn son, talking about the people of Israel.
Right.
But God had no secondborn son. He chose only one people. So therefore, the word firstborn in the Bible doesn't mean that there is anything following.
Okay. What about...
No, okay. That's exactly... that destroys your point, doesn't it?
What about Matthew 12,
that destroys 47? Your point, doesn't it?
What about Matthew 12,
right. It destroys your point. Thank you very much. Let's go to the next one.
No, let's not go to the next one. Let's talk about this.
Okay.
Now, if he never made a mistake, why did his mother, and it says his brethren, stand without and said that he was crazy and they came to get him?
Okay. What does that got to do with Jesus making a mistake?
Now, what's it got to do with Mary, then?
I'm sorry. I'm not following you.
Yeah, okay. Now, if Mary is a blessed mother... Now, I'm not saying that she's not.
Okay, I listen, very quickly. That statement is attributed to other people. You never hear the Blessed Mother say that out of her mouth, do you?
No.
No. And you certainly agree that not everything in the Bible, everything in the Bible is correct, but not every quote in the Bible is in accord with God's will. Annas and Caiaphas accused Jesus of blasphemy, did they not?
That's right.
And he wasn't guilty of blasphemy, right?
That's true.
So therefore, sometimes people make mistakes. There's also a quote in Luke and in Matthew and in Mark and even in John where they say something like this. Is this not the carpenter's son, right?
Yeah.
But he wasn't the carpenter's son, was he? I mean, he wasn't the son of Joseph.
Not physically.
No, that's the point, but they thought he was. So therefore, we have many instances in the Bible where people are reporting things what they believe to be true, but in fact are not factually true. We must take the words of Jesus and the writings of St. Paul, St. Peter, St. James, quite as the basis of our faith. And we must also understand that what is recorded in the Bible is factually correct,
mm-hmm.
but the words of other people are not necessarily correct. So what you're saying is that someone is reported as saying this, no quote saying it's out of the mouth of the Blessed Mother, so therefore it is not necessarily true.
Caller, thanks for the call. I want to move on. Good morning. You're on Flagship.
And with that hint, let's also move on to side two. Thank you.
Make it quick.
First of all, Pat, I think that the next time you have your conservative roundtable with Randy the Rich Brewer, you ought to invite Vin in for the 3 hours, too. That would be a, that would
thanks
be,
for the compliment.
Like to call a hoot.
That is a compliment, by the way.
I meant it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Vin, I'm a guy who's, if there is a hell, I'm going there. And I'd like your opinion on how I can avoid this, seeing as several years ago when I first realized that I was an atheist, I made that final break, and I blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. Any possible way that I could repent and get to heaven?
Yes.
There is.
Definitely. If you really didn't commit the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, and I doubt if you did if you were an atheist, the point is briefly this. I'll give you my telephone number at the end. Give me a call back. But remember, until you're in hell and have turned your back on God, you can always come back. Because remember, very simple. Jesus says, who among you has 100 sheep loses one, will not go after the one and leave the 99 alone? You are not calling by accident today. You are not listening to the show by accident today. God's giving you another chance. All you have to really do is start with one basic premise, which is clear in the Bible. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Start being scared of God. Seek his truth, and everything else will follow. But again, I'll give you my telephone number at the end. Call me personally off the air.
Well, it says right there, you know. The blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven.
You're absolutely correct. The point is, have you really committed it? I think the mere fact that you're scared about it means you didn't.
Well, I didn't say I was scared. I'm asking if...
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Well, I'm asking if there's a way.
If you have really committed the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, as described in the Bible, no, you're doomed. I don't believe you have, but I'd have to go into great detail on it.
Then we're going to pause on that note. We've got a five-minute break at the top of the hour here for the ABC National News. When we return, your calls will be taken in the order they're received for Vin Lewis at 835-1330. Don't forget service line 1130 Flagship Travel, Tim Means.
TALK in Erie, PA. Great Talk Radio. Flagship 1330. The Right Way with Pat Campbell.
Welcome back, folks, as we kick off hour number three of this, a fabulous Monday edition of The Right Way, January 30th, 1995, day 434 of the continuing real adventure in broadcasting. Sad to say, bringing to an end our 62nd week at our fabulous 1330 location, but fear not, tomorrow, good Lord willing, we'll kick off week 63. Folks, once again, we're joined this morning until 11:30 by a voice of tolerance for the 1990s, Vin Lewis himself. Your calls coming at 835-1330. They will be taken in the order that they are received. Also, a reminder, at 11:30, service line, Flagship Travel, our feature, Tim Means, will be in studio. Vin, before we go to the phones, why not give out that phone number?
Sure, let me get a quick plug-in.
Go.
I can be reached at area code 914-226. 4172, and you can call me personally, and I'll talk to you, and if you want stuff, you know, I'll send it to you, assuming you send me money. The two issues came up, and interesting, they're on two sides of an audio tape I put out. One is the perpetual virginity that the Catholics are now the new chosen people replacing the Jews,
mm-hmm.
and one can obtain that tape by sending me $7 and letting me know what you want, but the point I'm trying to make is this. A half-hour argument proving from Scripture the perpetual virginity of the Blessed Mother is very difficult to reduce to 30-second sound bites in a telephone conversation.
Right.
I hope people don't misunderstand that I'm trying to dodge anything, but there's a prudent judgment I have to make about trying to get to a whole lot of calls. If that guy who called me wants the tape, send me $7, I'll send you the tape, listen to it, then call me back and we'll discuss it one-on-one.
Okay, and the phone number again, area code 914. 226-4172. All right.
And I'm listed in the phone book under Hopewell Junction in New York in case you lose the number.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Thanks for waiting. You're on Flagship.
Hey, good morning, Pat.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, listen, it's nice to hear you have Tex Mars's brother on there this morning. Vin Lewis?
Yeah. Vin Lewis.
I'm sorry I missed, gentlemen, I've been out this morning, and I just arrived home a little while ago. I missed most of this. What credentials does Vin possess that makes him such a master of the Bible and the Catholic religion and God and Mary and Joseph?
Vin.
The only question I ever dodge is credentials on background. What I simply say is this. I'm a born-again Catholic, and I'm baptized, and therefore I can stand for God and will. And what I always say is this. Don't judge me on what I've done in the past. Judge me right now. The moment or the day I can't give you an answer out of the Bible for everything Catholic is the day you destroy my credentials. Until then, understand this. Jesus takes the foolish and the despised and the downtrodden of the world and makes them destroy the wisdom of the world. Therefore, I'd be darn foolish to start talking about the wisdom of the world. Check me out in the present now. I've had about 650 debates, discussions, confrontations with anti-Catholics. My record is 650 and zero. No one's ever laid a glove on me. No one ever will. That's my credentials. I'm the microphone through which God speaks. So can you be, by the way. Any baptized Christian can be. All he's got to do is be in accord with God, suspend his will, become the willing instrument of God's will, and you can. Those are my credentials. And that's what I always dodge about the background. That's the only question I dodge.
I'm of the Catholic persuasion myself, but I'll tell you, your rhetoric, Ben, is like none I've ever heard before. And I want to tell you how well-versed you are. You are very intelligent, and you are very deep in some of the things that you espouse.
I thank you for the compliment, and I invite you into the church, lest you wind up in hell. I'd love to talk to you in heaven, assuming we both get there.
I like how you put your explanation as to what you believe hell is. You know, I just don't understand where you're coming from out there.
I think everybody should understand where I come from. That's a very simple thing.
No,
I'm presenting
no.
God's truth so that I may be considered a worthless but merited servant so that I can get to heaven myself and cut down my time in purgatory. Therefore, I bear witness to the faith, I evangelize, and I defend the faith. That's where I come from, a very selfish motivation.
Yeah,
I don't want to go to hell,
so
I don't want to spend
Baker.
My time in purgatory.
So did Jim Baker. $7 and join the New Centurions, and we'll sell you a condo.
No one can accuse me of that. Come here sometime and see what I live in, and you will understand. And I challenge anybody to come here and look at this rundown trailer, which the water freezes on so far only twice this year. That's not bad. My water heater breaks almost every day. I made $1,100 last year. Come and look at my 1993.
You were overpaid.
Yeah. No, I wasn't. Okay. But the point I'm making is you can. I know it was meant as a joke. At least I believe it was meant as a joke. But it's a terrible slander to put me in the same category. He's Jim Baker. He was a God hater, a God despiser, and a blasphemer. I am not. I'm a lot of bad things, but I'm not in that category.
Well, we all are, Vin. You know,
no, I'm not a blasphemer.
Hey, none of us are far from perfect.
I'm a terrible person, but I have the right faith.
I understand you putting down, and I'm not saying women, but categorically, you're denying almost the right to heaven for other people beside women, and you're putting down of women. Who are only people, you know, human beings, they all have souls.
Listen, you got confused in the English language here, and I know you didn't mean to say what you said. So if you want to try it again, go ahead. Otherwise, I suggest we go to another caller.
Okay, hey, have fun.
Good.
Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
We appreciate it. Back to the phones. Good morning. You're on with Vin Lewis.
Hello.
Go ahead, please.
I'm not a Catholic, but I do believe that I will not be forgiven unless I forgive others. But I have,
good for you.
I have a question. Jesus sent John to baptize believers. Who would repent and accept Christ as Savior. And my question to you is, why is the Catholic Church baptizing babies?
They're baptizing babies because we want them to get to heaven.
Jesus was not baptized until he was 3 years old. In every instance in the Bible, there were individuals who had to have the capability of being able to repent and accept Jesus Christ as Savior. A baby cannot do that.
How do you know that?
Oh, I'll tell you when.
No, answer my question. No. How do you know what a baby can or cannot do?
Are you going to tell me that?
Thank you very much for not answering my question. The point is simply this: does the Bible forbid the baptizing of babies? Does it say do not baptize babies?
Babies were dead.
Answer my question. Thank you very much. Does the Bible say do not baptize babies?
It says
no. It does not. Thank you very much for not answering my question. Doesn't
when,
say that. You're talking about apostolic example as you interpret it. If
you
the
like
Bible,
to tell me if a baby was ever baptized in the Bible. The Bible is given to us as an example of the way we
Excuse me.
Let me ask you a question, and please be quiet while I ask you two questions.
Right.
Number one, does the Bible say anywhere, is there a verse that says, do not baptize babies? Answer me yes or no.
And would you like, No, it doesn't.
Thank you very much for answering the question.
Place,
God bless you. Second question,
any place in the Bible to baptize a baby, you
excuse
answer that
me.
One.
Excuse me, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Where does it say in the Bible you use this book as a guide for your behavior, faith, etc.?
The Bible is...
No, answer me the question. Now you start with chapter, book, verse. Where does it say in the Bible you shall use this? It says it nowhere. Thank you very much for sharing your opinion with me. But what you are offering is a non-biblical position. I don't necessarily even disagree. Let me finish, ma'am. Let me finish.
Did the early Catholic Church baptize babies?
Of course.
I used to be a Catholic, and I was in a Catholic church when they had a baptism, and the priest there said, the early church did not baptize
babies. That priest
babies.
Was lying. Well, it's probably one of those fags molesting the altar boys behind the altar. Why do you trust the priest?
Everyone's lying except you.
I beg your pardon?
Could I finish my,
No, because you will not answer my question. Therefore, I will not give you the courtesy of pretending that you are interested in truth. You want to make a speech. I'm the one here to make speeches. You're the one to ask questions. I'll answer your questions.
This was supposed to be a two-way street.
No. It's one way. I determine it. I'm the expert. If you ask questions, I respond.
You have a chance to ask questions.
I ask you a question. You refuse to answer it. I'll ask it to you again.
I didn't know
what... Does it say anywhere in the Bible that you have to use the guide of the Bible to run your life? No. Therefore, you have offered an opinion which is extra-biblical. If you base everything on the Bible, you've just contradicted yourself. If you base things other than on the Bible, then there must be a single authority. That single authority must be the true Church of Christ, which is the Catholic Church, QED. Now, comment if you wish. Is she gone?
No, I'm still here.
Comment if you wish.
Hey, you lose me in what you say.
I beg your pardon?
Anyway, the...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, ma'am.
I said you lose me.
Of course, that's because your mind is clouded by intellect. Anybody whose mind is not clouded by intellect hears the truth that I say, understands it completely. Come back to the church before you die, or you'll be utterly confused.
Could I ask
hell,
you another question?
I beg your pardon?
What Bible... You said that you can defend anything in the...
I'll use the King James Version or anyone you pick.
Okay,
doesn't bother
fine.
Me.
Would you tell me where there's any such thing as an annulment? Where someone who is married over 30 years, has children and grandchildren, could have his marriage annulled?
Do you know what an annulment means?
It means that the marriage never took place.
Right. So if the marriage never took place, you can't annul what not took place, right? Can you? You cannot kill a person who doesn't live, correct? Agreed?
Right.
If the person is never conceived, you cannot kill him. A decree of annulment is a human judgment to say the conditions of a marriage never took place. If the marriage never took place, it cannot be annulled because it never existed. Mm-hmm. Simply
well,
listen
would you
to the
like
language.
Tell me then, where? Yeah. So these children then, are they also annulled and the grandchildren are annulled?
No. They exist. How
yeah,
can you annul
I'm
a
sorry,
person?
But,
it's a silly
know,
question.
You know, the reason I left the Catholic Church was because they didn't preach the God. I mean, I...
That's utter nonsense. The reason you left was personal sin. You got tired of confessing it. Tell the truth. Listen, give me a call, and I will show you every single thing in the Bible conforming to Catholicism.
You're a very intelligent man, and...
That's got nothing to do with it. Let me ask you a quick question.
Right,
if I could show you... If I, what's your first name?
You're intelligent. Does
what's your first name?
You're right.
What is your first name?
Shirley.
If I could show you where the Catholic Church alone teaches the Bible, would you come back? Answer the question, Shirley.
I was in the Catholic Church.
Shirley, answer the question. If I could show you where everything the Catholic Church teaches is in the Bible and vice versa, will you come back?
You haven't shown me where the annulment comes in the Bible.
I didn't.
The name of it.
No, listen, Shirley, you didn't answer my question. You're like every ex-Catholic. That's not the reason you left, because when I point that condition out to you, you will never come back if I show you where it's in the Bible. Shirley, you left because of sin. You know it. I know it. Come back to confession.
Rhetoric.
Go back to confession, Shirley. You're on your way to hell, and you know
I
it. You're being tormented.
I confess my sins to Jesus.
I'm sorry. I can't hear you, Shirley.
I said I confess my sins
to a priest. To a priest, Shirley. You can still come back. God, you're not dead yet. For God's sakes, come back. But you're a perfect example of the phony ex-Catholic. Let me finish my harangue here, Shirley, for your sake and for the other people who are listening today. You always say, I left the church because it didn't preach the gospel. And when I say, if I show you where it does, where your church doesn't and my church does, will you come back? They never answer yes. Because that's not the reason, Shirley. That's not the reason. You know it and I know it. It's personal sin. For God's sake, Shirley, face the fact. That's why you're in torment.
That's why you can't sleep. That's why you hear those voices, and that's why you get those dreams, and you know what I'm saying is true.
Shirley, thanks for the call. And, Vin, let's take another call here. And good morning. You're on Flagship.
Good morning.
Excuse me while I take my Valium. Go ahead.
Okay. one statement and two questions, and I'll
sure.
be off. I remember, well, every Easter time, Catholics are sprinkled with holy water, and we're called to renew our baptismal vows.
Correct.
So it doesn't really matter if you're baptized as a child, because you're re-baptized every year at Easter.
No, that's not baptism. That's
no.
a renewal of baptismal vows, but not the reception of baptism as a sacrament. Quite different.
But it reminds you to remain a Christian.
Oh, sure it does.
Yes.
But a reminder is not a sacrament.
Okay. Two questions, then.
An anniversary is not a marriage. Go ahead.
Okay. Doctors-assisted suicide.
Yeah.
I believe these people are going to hell. And
ooh. The suicide or the doctors?
Both.
Yeah, they're on their way, definitely. But, of course, we don't know if they still get a chance to repent. But, in general, that's a serious sin that will put someone in hell if it meets the other conditions. Agreed.
Okay. And, Pat, can you ask them about the goddess Sophia? And I'll hang up.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, she hung up.
Go ahead, Vin.
I'm sorry. I'm not really sure what we're referring to.
The Benedictine community and some of the New Agers promote the worship of the goddess Sophia.
Yeah.
What do you know about it?
Very little that I've seen. This is just a whole lot of gobbledygook that they put out because, again, it's masochism. I would simply say to these people, I would love to debate them in any confrontation, and the point is, let them call on their goddess, I'll call on my god, and we'll see who triumphs. Because as Elijah did with the priest of Baal, I can never be put to shame if I rely on my god. If their goddess, quote-unquote, is stronger than my god, let's put it to a test. Let's put it to a test one-on-one, or as many of them as they want, against me, and let's see who contradicts themselves, who refutes themselves, who distorts themselves. Just like that lady who would not answer the question, if I showed you where biblical Catholicism is in the Bible, and mm-hmm. Bible supports Catholicism, will you come back? They never will answer that, because that exposes them as liars. These people aren't willing to debate these things, after all, and just as an aside, what woman couldn't I be, Pat? I mean, after all, they don't have the same minds we do.
You haven't met Joan Chittister yet. We're going to have to get the
no,
two
I'd
of you together.
To. I'd love to.
Sort of a
it's
blind.
Attractive.
Then it'll be a blind date you'll never forget.
Okay, send her picture to me first.
Well, that might be a frightening inexperience in and of itself. I'm going to put
after
you on.
Because I judge all women by appearances, you know. Go ahead.
I'm going to put you on hold for a minute. Folks, we got to get a few commercials in. When we return, yes, more from Vin Lewis. Your calls coming in the order they're received, 835-1330. Back right after this.
Vini, Vidi, Vici. Northwestern Pennsylvania's Great Talk Radio, Flagship 1330.
Weekday mornings at 11:30.
Only on Great Talk Radio, Flagship 1330.
Today, our feature flagship travel, Tim Means in studio right after the 11:30 news.
The Right Way with Pat Campbell.
Not just Pat Campbell. Yeah, can't even say my own name. Not just Pat Campbell, but Vin Lewis as well. And before I forget, we want to give out Vin's phone number one more time. Area code 914-226-4172. Once again, area code 914-226-4172. He's headquartered up in Hopewell, New York, and head of ARM, All Roads Ministry. Vin, let's go right back to the phones here. Thanks for waiting. You're on Flagship. Good morning. Go
good
ahead.
Morning.
Okay. Yes, I'd like to know where in the Bible...
Ma'am, can you turn down your radio?
Okay, just a minute, please.
Please. It'll make it a lot easier for everybody here.
I guess she's not a Catholic, Pastor.
Okay.
There you go.
I'd like to know where in the Bible it says that you should confess your sins to a priest.
It says two things. Number one, it said the Epistle of St. James in the last chapter, it says confess your sins to one another. And in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 21, Jesus gives his apostles the powers to forgive and, far more importantly, to retain forgiveness of sins. And what they do, God will confirm in heaven. So, in other words, someone has to have the authority to say, yes, God forgives you, but someone else has to have the divine, absolute, infallible authority to say, God doesn't forgive you. If you combine these two things together, what you have is that certain people, not all, were given the power to forgive sins, and if this power was not passed down throughout all time, then we have a complete contradiction of what appears in the Second Corinthians epistle when St. Paul says that Jesus is an everlasting yes, not yesterday and no tomorrow. Therefore, the conditions by which Jesus set up the church must be eternal, and therefore the power he gave to those apostles, and which is encouraged in the epistle of St. James, must be present in the church today, or Jesus failed. And since Jesus can't fail, it must be in it.
Doesn't it also say in 1 Timothy 2:5 that there is only one mediator between God and men, and that
Utterly.
Is Jesus Christ?
Of course it does.
Then why should you confess to a priest?
Because
is he
they
infallible?
Are not mediators.
Is he infallible?
I beg your pardon?
Why should a priest hear your confessions?
Because God commands that we do so.
God commands for you to confess your sins to one another if you've committed
one
a
another.
Sin.
Right, one another. And let me ask you a question then, just as a point of clarification. Do you have the power, if someone forgives you, to withhold forgiveness and God confirm it?
Excuse me?
Thank you. Listen again. If someone confesses, first of all, has anybody ever confessed sins to you?
Yes.
Have you forgiven them?
Yes.
Does that mean God forgives them?
Yes.
Can you refuse forgiveness and God will refuse forgiveness?
You can refuse
to... Answer the question yes or no. Thank you very
no,
much.
No, you cannot.
You cannot. But Jesus specifically says the opposite. Go back and read the Gospel of St. John, verse 20, excuse me, chapter 20 or 21, I forget which. It's 20:21 or 21:20, where Jesus says, and if you refuse forgiveness, God will refuse forgiveness. If you can't do that, then you are not the person that people are supposed to confess to, right?
We're not the apostles.
Answer my question yes or no. Please point out to yourself, please read again in the Epistle to the Corinthians where St. Paul says, let your yes be yes and your no, excuse me, Jesus says this in Matthew, let your yes be yes and your no be no, and everything else is from Satan. Haven't you gotten afraid that you cannot answer the simplest questions about the Bible, about your faith, yes or no? That is a requirement of Christianity. You should be in terror that you cannot do this. No Catholic can, no non-Catholic can. Be afraid, lady, because the answers that are coming from you, according to the Bible, are not from you, but from an evil spirit. Don't
oh,
you read
yeah,
the word?
Right. I don't
yes,
know.
Yes,
I don't
yes.
know where you get off. Saying
Bible,
the
lady,
things that
the Bible.
You're getting off.
The Bible.
On.
Read the Bible.
I do read
questions.
The Bible, but I see no place in the entire Bible where it says that you must be a Catholic to get into heaven.
I've already covered that in advance before.
No,
did you hear me?
No.
Did you hear me in the early part of the show?
Yes, I did.
Okay, then you already heard it. Okay.
Yes.
Hey, good. You showed improvement.
And it also
yes
says that there is salvation through faith.
Excuse me. Are you aware that the Catholic Church is specifically mentioned as the faith which all other faiths are to be compared and measured by in the Epistle of Romans?
Oh, yes. Out of what Bible?
Excuse
the Catholic Bible?
No. King James Version. Are you aware of that? Go back and read it, lady. Read the Bible the first time. Let the scales fall off your eyes and then come into the Church of Rome, lest you continue in your way and be doomed. Please let me formally invite you. But the point is exactly this. If you haven't read the Epistle of Romans yet, which was Luther's famous, most favorite epistle, where the Catholic Church is mentioned by name as the faith spoken throughout the world and the faith by which all other faiths must conform, then you haven't read it. Give me a call off the air. I'll explain it to you. I'll take the time because I don't want Jesus to say that I let you go to hell without a fight. Let's go on.
Caller, thanks for the call. Good morning. You're on Flagship. Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Morning.
Go ahead.
Good morning. How can you say that if you're not a Catholic, you're going to hell?
Because Jesus says that. Let me ask you a quick question. Do you have to be committed to the truth to get to heaven?
Pardon me?
Do you have to be committed to the truth to get to heaven?
Of course, to the truth.
Well, then, therefore, will you agree with all other people committed to the truth? If you do that, will you agree with
now
all of
you're trying to set traps
no,
for
No, thank
people.
You. Of course I'm
trying. I'm glad you're not God.
Excuse me. Of course I'm trying to set a trap for you. Please answer
loving,
the question.
Loving, forgiving.
Ma'am.
And I believe that
ma'am,
people
ma'am.
Who are compassionate and charitable will go to heaven, but not people who condemn everybody else.
I'm not condemning anybody.
Ooh, you are.
Listen, I'm not condemning anybody any more than pointing out that the whole bunch of people died in the earthquake over in Japan means I killed them. I'm simply pointing out dangers.
Well, if they died and if they
thank
were
you for
good
not
people,
letting me finish, ma'am. I know you're being
caller, let him finish. Go ahead, Ben.
Number one, you are required as a Christian to answer questions yes or no. You did not. Once again, I give the same admonition to you that I gave to the previous lady. Please go back and check your soul and see what's motivating you. It sure isn't love, and it sure isn't Christianity, and it sure isn't truth. Number two, when I point out a danger, if I point out a house is on fire to save people's lives, I have not condemned them to death. I'm trying to save them. I'm trying to save their lives and prevent their deaths. When I point out defects in non-Catholic religions for the purposes of saving someone's life, this is an act of charity. It is not an act of condemnation. I cannot condemn anyone. But Jesus tells us in Matthew 18, that we must admonish our brothers, we must tell them when they're wrong, and then if they refuse to listen to us and a few others, we must refer them to the church, which must be a hierarchical organization, which has a telephone number and an address and can actually have meetings and condemn people in their behavior, not
Vin,
individuals.
Vin, let's take one more quick call here, okay?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on Flagship. Quickly, please.
Pat, I'm very disappointed you had this fellow on today. I love your show. I just want to say, all the born-again Christians, we love this man. We're praying for him.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Okay,
Vin,
fine.
Hey, you want to comment?
Dallas next year in the Super Bowl. That's more important to my soul.
Vin, we're all out of time. I want to give the phone number one more time. Area code 914-226-4172.
And
once again,
born-again Protestants should call me and admonish me to my face as Christians are required to. Otherwise, they're just cowards and talking cheaply on the phone and on.
Vin, the program has simply been fascinating.
Thank
no,
you,
no other word could properly describe it. A standing open invitation to come back and chat with the listeners once again.
Thank you, Pat.
Vin, keep up the good work. We'll
Thank
talk
you.
To you later. Again, ladies and gentlemen, Vin Lewis joining us by phone, via phone, from Hopewell, New York, head of the All Roads Ministry, which goes by the acronym ARM. And we've billed him here as the ultimate Catholic warrior. The views expressed today were those of Vin's, not necessarily those of station management. And I'm sure that the local Catholic bishop, Donald Troutman, would say not necessarily those of the local Catholic Church. Folks, we're going to go to the flagship 1330 News Center and join our birthday boy, Dean. When we return, service line, today's feature, flagship travel, Tim Means, live in studio.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the tape. I hope you found it entertaining and profitable, as I said in the beginning. And now we have a minor administrative problem. The show was an hour and a half airtime, which means approximately, say, 40 minutes or so actual time, which means that I now have approximately 20 minutes left of this tape or so, in which I need to put on something. Now, we can put in a musical interlude, or we could put in, static sounds, which might make you think it's a bad recording, or I can simply talk as I'm going to talk. And I will hope that you will not think this is merely filler, but actually something worthwhile. So, first of all, allow me to comment on the philosophy of being on the radio in the sense of, an anticipated defense to some criticism you may have to the way I handle the show. Whenever one is on a call-in show, there are several factors that one must keep in mind, and I kept them in mind. Number one, you have a significant audience out there, and although the caller himself may be obsessed with a particular topic of great interest to him, the audience may not be interested in that particular subject. So therefore, if you get too deeply or too narrowly focused on one particular subject without making it general, without abstracting it to a general principle, you might very well answer that one person, but you won't appeal to the general audience. I tried to balance this as I went through handling the calls and, of course, handling the interview part of the show in which Pat Campbell asked me questions. It is not necessarily a difficult thing to do, but it is something which does certainly encourage me to make mistakes. So therefore, if you felt I spent too long or too little time with someone, if you felt I concentrated too much on the specifics or too little on the specifics and too much on the general principle involved, I can only say that I had to make judgments at the time, and such judgments, being a human, I do not have infallibility in. In other words, my judgments are as likely to be right as they are to be wrong. Well, I hope my odds are a little better than that. Allow me to sort of refresh your memory a little bit with some of the callers, if I may. I hope you do notice that there is a universal tendency among non-Catholics and among people who claim to be Catholic and are not to refuse to answer direct questions. One of the callers made the point that he felt I was trying to trap him. This is exactly correct. This is precisely what I'm trying to do. When a person is going in the wrong way, and you've put up a sign that says, danger, bridge out ahead, and he continues to proceed in that area and proceed to his doom, if you are going to help him, you need to trap him. Also, by the same token,
those who rely on the Lord, who rely on the power of God, the grace of God, the blessings of the Blessed Mother, even just the help of your guardian angel and actual grace, cannot be trapped. In other words, one of the problems here is that these people feared me, and they were right to fear me, because of course I could twist them in knots, and of course I could destroy their objections, and of course I could make them contradict themselves out of their own mouth. That's nothing. That's an easy thing to do when God is on your side and the other person is opposing God. The reason I say this is because I'm trying to tell you, those of you who are listening to this and who are Catholic, that you should never fear where the truth is going to lead. If you're asked a question, and it should properly be answered either yes or no, answer it yes or no. Do not fear in advance the consequences. Do not worry if it appears to you that the question is going the wrong way or going to lead you into the wrong conclusion. Such things cannot happen if you have God on your side, or to put it more properly, if you are on the side of God. For if you are on the side of God, truth cannot hurt you no matter what. Truth is from God, grace is from God, goodness is from God. Make the act of will, which is good, to accept the grace of God and to defend the truth of God, and then no truth, whether it be specifically theological or not, whether it be historical, whether it be psychological, philosophical, whether it be based on everyday experience or some kind of esoteric form of knowledge, no truth can refute you. No truth can be your enemy. I would suggest, again, that particularly if you listen to this tape again, listen to the tone and the language of my opponents, who were quite terrified once the conversation didn't go precisely the way they had anticipated. Of course, I had no way of anticipating which way the conversation would go. I was, in a very real sense, a sitting duck and a stationary target. They could sit there, listen to what I said, concentrate on me, call me up with an ambush. Of course, at no time did I need any, shall we say, opportunity to take a break to go look something up or anything like that. Why? Because the ability to answer immediately is something that is promised to us by God in the Gospels of St. Mark, St. Matthew, St. Luke. If we take these promises seriously, we can always find a reason to give for the joy, the hope, and the faith which is in our heart, because God loves us and supports us. You will notice, of course, also, at least I find it rather interesting, the final caller, the born-again Protestant, who called, sort of criticizing Pat for having me on, and saying, of course, that they would pray for me. And, of course, I mocked that by pointing out that I would much rather they pray for the Dallas Cowboys to get into the next Super Bowl rather than worry about my soul. The point is this, that I'm trying to make on the last caller. If you'll notice, there was an extremely effeminate characteristic to him. There's no masculinity in that voice. It's a phrase I've used a lot, and one I discovered after hundreds of interviews with active Protestants. Protestantism makes men into women, and women into idiots. And I think you could see that there. You will also notice, I hope, while listening to the tape, that although people did seem to object to what I stated, they were never able to advance an argument against what I was saying. These types of objections are what are called in Latin ipse dixit, which translates as "he himself says it." And it is the presentation of a statement without any additional proof other than the pure credibility and authority of the person. It's sort of like Popeye the Sailor Man. I am what I am, and that's all that I am. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Well, when a person offers this as his sole objection, in other words, I don't like it because I don't like it, then he has advanced nothing, and he has proven that his means to object and his basis for objection are virtually non-existent. And, of course, what he has done has made himself a god unto himself, which of course is the sin of Adam, and of course the reason why people ultimately go to hell. But once again, to return to the basic issue, when one is on a radio show, one is trying to be entertaining, enlightening, educational, and of course provocative. One of the things I hope being on such a radio show will do is that it will generate calls to me off the air and generate requests for armed products. This particular radio station call, this particular radio, shall we say, program, generated one call, one request for a catalog, and as of now, which is approximately a month later when I'm recording this, no orders from that catalog. I find it rather interesting that it seems that the Catholic American populace is frequently so blasé and so indifferent that it appears as if no call to arms can possibly make them take up those arms and engage in the combat which occurs daily. One of the things I would point out to you, especially those of you who enjoy this and those of you who listen and to talk radio, is I would encourage you to call. You probably, if you call in on a similar subject, won't last too long, but at least you'll have the satisfaction of knowing how to handle it. And I would suggest that, for your own future reference, try to phrase every question that you possibly can in such a way that it should be answered either yes or no. In other words, don't leave questions open, but make them directional. Example of this, if you say, what is the value of truth, you're very likely to get a 45-minute dissertation which will make no sense, and if you try to point out to the answerer that it makes no sense, they will point out to you that you asked the question and now you're not giving them a chance to reply. However, if you were to rephrase that in the following way, is truth necessary for salvation? You now have a quite different question, which requires a yes or a no answer. Is adherence to the one religion necessary for salvation is quite a bit different from what must I do to be saved? Or is faith necessary for salvation is quite a bit different from what must I believe to be saved? The point of setting things up in the yes-no way so that you induce or expect or require a yes-no answer to your question is that the advantage of this is that it brings about a direction in which you're going. Also, I would sincerely and strongly suggest that if you are, again, thinking of doing this, and it doesn't have to be in a talk radio show, but you might simply find a situation you're at where questions and answers are entertained, that you phrase things with an if-then type preface to a question. So in other words, I'll use an illustration using the same subject. Is truth required for salvation? If the person says yes, you might follow up with, if truth is required for salvation, then won't all the saved people agree on doctrine? If he says yes, if they all agree on doctrine, is this not the same as saying they are all members of one denomination / church? Notice, three yes or no questions, getting directly to the point, getting directly to the heart of the issue. The first one sets up the direction in which you're going. And the second two, by using the if-then construction, forces the person into answering. Now, perhaps I should put quotation marks around that word force. You can never force a person to answer, but you can come away convinced that the person is being dishonest when he doesn't answer questions such as that. And remember, not only is there no goodness outside of the Catholic Church, there's no honesty either. For those of you who need proof of that, I would suggest you obtain a recently produced ARM audio tape, T as in Thomas, 4-9, The Biggest Mistake a Catholic Can Make. This is a live talk I gave to a group of Catholics in Wisconsin, and in essence what it says is you cannot separate truth, goodness, grace from each other, nor from the Blessed Sacrament. Not that Pat will be able to hear this, because he sends me the copies of the tapes, I don't send them to him, but let me officially at least thank Pat Campbell for having me on the show, once again, and let me point out that the discussion of religion, although it's far more popular than it used to be because of the rise of talk radio and the apparent conservative slant to many of the talk radio shows, is still somewhat prohibited and still a touchy subject. The mere fact that Pat is willing to defend the faith publicly against non-Catholics and have me on to do it also is something that he should be praised for. You may not be living in the Erie, Pennsylvania area where you can listen to the show, but you might still wish to give him, drop him a message. I'm sure you can get the address of the through the call letters of the station. And if you ever hear of him on another place or hear him speaking, or if he ever transfers his activities from one station to another, you might very well support him. I think that's really about all I can add on this particular subject at this particular time. Once again, to summarize, for those of you who felt I was too long or too short with any particular subject or any particular topic or any particular person, understand that so such as this are, in essence, a compromise. And I have to make an instant decision, which is not always correct, exactly how long to stay on a subject, when to drop it, when to interrupt, when to shout down, when to induce questions, when to ask rhetorical questions, when to, quote, force my truth down their throat, and when to allow them to make fools of themselves. And all the time, always being aware that there's other people who are on that waiting list, on that telephone, who want to get through. So, again, if you felt I made any mistakes on these subjects, or any of these techniques, or any of these decisions, all I can say is, I probably did. But I hope, overall, that you still enjoy the tape, that you appreciate it, and particularly if this is the first you've gotten of our tapes, which is extremely unlikely, I would suggest that you be aware that there are five on the air tapes. The first one consists of another radio show. The second one, a couple of call-in shows with a little bit of me on the Sally Jesse Raphael show on TV. And the last three are Pat Campbell shows on different occasions at different times. I will always point out that so far, at least on every one of these shows, I have been the primary guest, except on the Sally Jesse Raphael TV show, in which I appeared three times, once as a primary guest and twice as what they call a secondary special audience, which means you give specific so-called expert comments at a specific time in the show, usually to counteract something that's been brought up by a major guest. And, of course, all of those products are available from ARM. And you may obtain those products or any product that ARM produces simply by contacting us at All Roads Ministry, which, of course, you may abbreviate ARM, 55 Palin, that's P as in Paul, A-L-E-N, Road, number 38, Hope Well Junction, New York, 12533. Hope Well is one word, by the way. Pat said it was Hope Well, New York, but it's Hope Well Junction, approximately an hour north of New York City. And, of course, feel free to call me with your comments, suggestions, criticisms, encouragements, support, and everything else. And bear in mind, if you're not aware of this, ARM always needs people to help in its work. And that doesn't simply mean financial contributions. We need your hands, we need your eyes, we need your tongues. If you're willing to help us, give us a call, let me know. I should be able to find something for you to do. That really about ends it. All I can say is, once again, thank you for listening. God bless. Hope it's been a benefit to you. And hope it's been some fun. Certainly was for me. I enjoy these things, and I certainly hope you enjoy them too. Because remember, God certainly wants us to be happy with Him in the next world, but He wants us to be happy in this world too. So, if you're not getting fun out of your religion, you're not doing it right. Trust me on that. Goodbye, good luck, God bless you.